We've been talking about the federal budget. Joining me now from the Liberal Party is the member for Barker, Tony Passon, in Canberra. Hi there, Tony. How's it going?
I'm well, thanks, and good morning to your listeners, Jenny.
All right, so take us through. What is this federal budget all about to you?
Well, this is a budget creating a plan for a stronger Australia. It's a budget that addresses cost of living pressures now. It sets a long-term strategic plan to create more jobs into the future. It's underpinned by record investment in essential services, and given the geopolitical strains operating around the globe at the moment, it sees record investment in our defence and national security capability, which in the circumstances I think is a relief to all Australians.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Is that about, you know, sovereign borders and that sort of thing? Or
In terms of the defence spend, Jenny, it's a 10-year defence capability plan. We're investing $270 billion to support more than 100,000 jobs. We're growing the Australian Defence Force to 100,000 full-time staff for the first time since effectively at the end of World War II. We are also deepening our strategic partnerships through agreements like AUKUS and the Quad. But in last night's budget, the most significant element around our national safety and security was the biggest ever investment in Australia's cyber preparedness. We're creating 1,900 jobs, effectively doubling the capacity of our cyber workforce to boost our capacity to prevent and respond to cyber threats. We face these challenges on a daily basis, but as we saw in the Ukraine, cyber warfare is becoming more an element of the way nations seek to influence or indeed impact each other. And we want to make sure that Australian defences, cyber security defences, are as strong as they need to be.
Bringing it a bit closer to home, how will families and businesses benefit in Barker?
Well, the most significant issue, I think, occupying people's minds in the nation, including in my electorate in Barker, are cost of living pressures. Now, they're being driven by the Russian invasion in Ukraine and COVID-related global supply chain issues. They're all having the effect of driving up our daily costs. And so, in terms of fuel, there's a six-month halving of the excise, reducing excise on fuel by 22 cents. That will see the price of fuel drop by that amount. That measure has taken place immediately, or in effect immediately, but will flow to consumers in the Bowser over the next 2 weeks as service stations fill up their tanks. There's one-off cost of living tax offsets for anyone earning less than $126,000. That's if they're already receiving the low and middle income tax offset, it's $1,500 per person, $3,000 per couple. If they're not already receiving that amount, it's $420. Pensioners, carers, veterans, job seekers, eligible self-funded retirees and concession card holders will receive a $250 cost of living payment. So there is a really strong focus on saying, yes, we acknowledge and accept that there are cost of living pressures playing out on Australians right now, and we're going to do our best by providing targeted, measured and time-limited cash injections into households to help them deal with that.
There has been a little bit of criticism from groups like SACOS and the Brotherhood of St Lawrence Social Welfare Group saying it's great that there is some modest relief, but, you know, there are sharp rises in the cost of living. There's, you know, houses, rentals going up 9%, the cost of buying a house 20%. So what about the fact that, you know, people are in a very precarious position?
Well, Jenny, when we're dealing with people who are in very vulnerable positions, then we're really talking about social housing, which is the responsibility of state governments. Federal governments are engaged in the housing sector and the housing discussions around private home ownership. And, of course, your listeners will be familiar with the Home Builder Scheme that has put 160,000 Australians into their first home over the last 12 months. In terms of what else we're doing to encourage people into private home ownership, which I think is one of the greatest things a government can do because it stabilises family settings. It strengthens communities in that way. We're doubling the home guarantee scheme from 25,000 places to 50,000 places. This deals with the roadblock that is saving for your deposit. Under this scheme, you can, if you're a single parent, buy a home with a deposit as low as 2%, and if you're a couple or, sorry, a first home buyer otherwise, 5% of the deposit rather than the 20%, which basically locks people out of buying a home. And we want to secure private home ownership for as many Australians as possible.
Tony Passon, it sounds like there's some investment in the NBN communications, that sort of thing, for regional communities. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a $1.3 billion telecommunication package. Now, my focus in this space has been around mobile connectivity, and the Mobile Phone Black Spot program has invested over a number of years to this point, $380 million. So to imagine that we now have an additional $1.3 billion in terms of upgrading NBN technologies and mobile phone connectivity, that's huge, and it's something that I've been fighting pretty hard for. There isn't a conversation I have in Barker that doesn't involve a need to improve mobile phone and digital connectivity. So I'm really looking forward to that program as it rolls out and making sure we get a disproportionate share of that funding in Barker.
There's been some criticism, though, with regards to the $7.1 billion regional spend across the country. Regional SA, you know, there's been some commentary that as we have no marginal seats, we haven't got a cent of that $7.1 billion. What do you say to that?
Well, the criticism is misplaced in that regard, in the sense that Western Australia, which has no marginal seats in regional WA, received $1.5 billion. So it's not actually a product of who has the regional seats. It's not a pork barrelling exercise. Effectively, what it is a Northern Australia infrastructure for spend. It's around mining resources and getting them to ports. Now, you can understand in a South Australian context, whilst there is mining that occurs in the northern parts of our electorate, there is no iron ore or coal mining to any degree, and that's what this funding is about, unlocking those resources so we can pay for the essential services, et cetera, et cetera. But I've got to say, Jenny, like some of your listeners, I was disappointed to see that the focus was ostensibly on Northern Australia without a dividend for all the great work we do in Southern Australia, particularly around our food and fibre and production. And so the paint wasn't dry on the Treasurer's speech, and I was on the phone to him and other senior decision makers in what has become the Tony Passon way, making it pretty clear that I was concerned about this and that I was going to put the bit between my teeth and really elevate issues I've raised in this Parliament before now around the need to duplicate the Dukes and Sturt Highways. Now, I've called for that, but I can tell you there won't be a conversation had in this place with a minister responsible for infrastructure, be it the Prime Minister, the Treasurer, the Infrastructure Minister going forward, that doesn't involve me saying, where are we at with the duplication of the Dukes and Sturt Highways? Because that's the kind of dividend we need in Southern Australia, given that Northern Australians have seen a very significant investment via this budget.
Is there anything else you wanted to mention about the budget, Tony Passon?
Yeah, a couple of smaller but not insignificant announcements for the Murraylands. The Healthy Rivers program will be back. It's an additional $97 million for programs that improve the livability and ecology in and around river communities, which I know was welcomed and has provided a number of programs with funding around the Murray and Mallee. And finally, I was really pleased to see three other programs receive continuing support. The Ag Shows program with $15.4 million for a second round of the for the oversubscribed and in-demand agricultural show development grants program. So that was the program that provided, for example, an investment in a new facility at the Mount Pleasant Showgrounds. Stronger Communities, that continues for a further round, so that will be round 8. That's the program that allows for small grants of up to $20,000 for small sporting community organisations otherwise in the electorate. And finally, round four of the local roads and community infrastructure program. This is quickly becoming, amongst local government, the favourite program where federal and state governments partner. There have been three rounds of this program. Your listeners might recall that it represented the stimulus package in the first couple of rounds. Well, there's another $500 million being invested in that program, which means local councils throughout the Murraylands will have access to untied funds that they can expend on their next highest priority. And that's evidence of our government wanting to continue to invest in regional communities, but doing it in a way that meets their priorities. That is, local communities should decide what the next priority is and what needs to be funded, and councils will have that opportunity going forward.
Thanks so much for your time today, Tony Passon.
Thanks, Jenny.